In the Gospel according to St. Luke, I would like to read from the chapter 17, from the verse number 32 to the end of this chapter. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women or female persons shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two male persons shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. In the same chapter, in the verse 24, I read, For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his days. So apparently the Lord is referring to that great and glorious day of his coming. And in connection with that, or explaining some details about that, something that is important for us to know, he is saying, even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. That's verse number 30. Before that, he talked about the days of Noah, and then about the days of Lot. So in each day, there is some destruction. In the days of Noah, destruction of the existing world, and of course, beginning of a new world. In the days of Lot, destruction of the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and the small one, Sigor or Zoar, was preserved, or the destruction of that one was postponed for a time. So, in each case, we see that there is a destruction of the existing situation, existing regime, as the existing world, so to say, or existing manner and way of living. And that day, the day of the destruction, has changed the usual course of things to an unusual. They were destroyed. But for Lot, it was an opportunity to begin a new life, a life away from the sinfulness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, Lot missed that opportunity. And some people will realize that they have missed an opportunity to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, not before, but at the time of His last coming, at the time of the beginning of judgment, at the time when the call to His salvation, the call to seek God's mercy and grace and His deliverance is going to be completed, and there will be called to come before the throne of judgment. In the verse number 30, the Lord says, Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. Pointing to the fact that there is some similarity in the manners the Lord is doing His will. The Lord is executing judgment upon the disobedient, and also fulfilling His promises to the obedient. The promises to Noah and his family were fulfilled, and to all the creatures that were with Noah in the ark, in the ship. So, in the verse number 31, the Lord is saying, In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. So beware of distraction. And then, same verse. And he that is in the field, let him not return back. If we are in the Lord's field, let us not go back to the place where we were before that. If we are on the Lord's path, let us not be persuaded to turn away from the Lord's path and step on another path. And then the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. And after that, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. How does that relate to Lot's wife? I don't remember ever thinking that Lot's wife had some fear of losing her life and she wanted to preserve it. I would rather think that she did not fear enough for the loss of her life. And that's why she lost it. But here we see that everything is reversed. Our way of thinking, our considerations, the human way of thinking, the carnal way of considering is quite the opposite of the spiritual way of thinking, of considering the things and viewing, seeing the facts in the Lord's way. The Lord's way is different than the human way. So it's possible that Lot and his wife and perhaps their daughters had something in common in their faith, or should I say in their religion. They all had some doubts and questions about the Lord's salvation and the Lord's deliverance. Lot believed that it's too far for him to go to the place that the Lord has appointed for him. No, not to the top of that mountain. That's too far. I won't make it. And then the evil that is coming will somehow fall on me. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to perish if I obey the Lord's word. Lot believed that his deliverance will be in Zoar, in the small sinful city. Lot's wife, apparently, believed that her only salvation, well-being, security, safety is in Sodom. And it's just impossible that the word of God is true. So she does not want to go even to that small city where her husband was going. She wanted to return back to Sodom. And the Lord says, he that is in the field, let him not return back. Whosoever shall seek to save his life in his own way shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life in the flesh for the Lord's sake shall gain it. Not only the life, he will gain life everlasting. But my focus in this passage is the following verses. 34, 35, and 36. I found similar passage in Matthew chapter 24 by the end of that chapter, or close to the end. And in that chapter, that passage, I found very similar statements, like the statement that the Lord gave us in the verse number 35 and 36, but not the verse number 34. So I selected this passage because it has additional verse. In all three verses, 34, 35, and 36, we see separation. But before that separation, there was some affiliation, some associating. Some people are together and they cannot stay together. Some of these people are in some kind of a union or unity. that will not last. In the verse number 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two, in English translation that I have, two men. But the Lord said only two. So maybe it was number two with the masculine gender. In some languages, that is possible. In most of the Slavic languages, you have number two that indicates two males, or number two that indicates two females. Or such a form of number two that indicates a combination, male and female, or children, neither male nor female. So it's possible that in the Hebrew language or Greek language, that was the manuscript that was used for this translation or some other translations was clearly indicating that there will be two male persons, two men in one bed. So that could be two brothers, two members of the same family, and that in those days they had beds or parts of their room designed for sleeping. And so there will be two or three or four or five in one bed, and as many people, that's how big the bed is. But in any case, sharing the same bed, sleeping on the same place that was designated for sleeping, indicates that they are very close. They're the same family. They were in the same family until that day. And then it was proved that they were not in the same family. That actually the human family included members of the Lord's family and members of the world's family. The believers and the unbelievers. Or perhaps two kinds of believers. Some that had oil in their lamps and the others that did not have oil. Some that worked with their Lord's money, values, talents, gifts, and the others that did not. Some that were looking forward to the Lord's coming, waiting for their master with their readiness to open the door, and the others that with their manners and their behavior sent a message to him, we will not have this ruler to rule over us. So what is the most important consideration, concern that we should have when we read this verse? Not who shall be there of my family. Oh yes, that's important. Very important to me. But the most important thing is, am I going to be there? Am I going to be taken to be with the Lord or left behind? Am I going to be taken to the awful judgment, righteous and just judgment of God? Or I will remain in His grace until His coming? This is going to be a moment of separation. And we could be now together, sharing our private life, sharing our social life. We could be together sharing anything. But if we don't share the common grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His salvation, our obedience to Him, our full dependence upon Him, our servitude, if we are not slaves of His love, and if we are not sharing charity with one another in the Lord, then we are in a poor shape. We are in a danger to be left out of the number that is going to rejoice on that day. or to be included in the number that is going to be on the left-hand side. Why is the Lord saying that? To give us a warning and an instruction to be wise. And fear not the things of the world. Fear not those that can take the life of this body. But respect and honor Him who has the power over body and soul. Power over all. I think that the verse number 35 is of a very similar essence or similar meaning. Two women shall be grinding together if they are sharing their cornmeal, if they are grinding together their grain. They are probably mother and daughter, or mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, or the wives of two brothers. In any case, if they are grinding together, they are very probably belonging to the same family. And we might be together in the same spiritual family by our affiliation. Just like the seven churches in Asia that we read about in the Revelation. Everyone was different. And everyone had a different instruction or warning, admonishment. So there could be two churches affiliated, and they're sharing their ministers and their ministries, and they're visiting one another, and they might be sharing the Lord's Supper together, they might be having love feasts together, and so on. But if we observe very carefully, there could be some difference. One church is experiencing more and more separation from the world, and the other more and more association with the world. So one is worldly and one is godly. Godliness is the way of salvation. Godliness is encouraging us to be ready for the Lord's coming anytime, any moment. Worldliness is making us negligent, sloppy, careless, and very sensitive to any kind of suffering, any kind of self-denial, any kind of meekness, any kind of differing from the world. Oh, it's so hard to be all alone. Oh, look, everybody is looking at me when I'm out in the public. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I want them to see me. Let them see that I'm different than the world, and I rejoice in that. So, the godly church, all those that are in Christ in that church, will be ready for the Lord's coming. And all those that are not in Christ, in that church or any other church, they are not ready. And everyone who is not ready for the Lord is ready for the judgment. There is nothing in between. Though some people, some groups would like to make something of their own doctrines and their own religion, that there is a chance, there is a hope after death, there is a way of really getting redeemed by somebody else other than Christ the Lord. But that's always a lie. That's always a false belief, perversion of the truth, twisting the truth and making lies. And that's very offensive to the Lord. And that's subject to His judgment. And the disciples asked the Lord this question, "Where, Lord?" Now, I'm not sure quite Exactly. What did they ask? Where is that, all of that, going to be? Is that going to happen in the land of Israel? Is that going to happen in every land under heaven? Is that going to happen to a certain ethnic group of people or to the whole world? Or are they asking if two are going to be separated, one will be left where he was before, or the other one will be taken where to? And the Lord is answering, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. What does that mean? The eagles are gathered wherever the body is? Not very long ago, I was watching a video, animals in Africa. And among the other presentations or pictures that I saw on that video, DVD disc, there was an interesting picture or an interesting event that happened. There is an animal grazing grass, something similar like a cow, but different. And then come the lions and they kill that animal and they eat, and after the lions, some parts are left. The carcass of that animal is actually left. Some of the meat has been eaten by the lions and the lions are gone. And now the vultures, the eagles that eat carcasses in the wilderness, in the desert, are landing down all around this carcass and they start chopping pieces of meat and cleaning the bones and eating what is left after the lion's meal. And I wonder if this is not the same meaning. Where there is a dead body, the eagles will be gathered. And it could refer to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, that generally, I would say, with the exception of the few that believed the Lord Jesus Christ, the rest were like a dead body. Or that their religion, their trust in the temple of God, their belief in the worship in their own way, that's like a dead body, perhaps. And all this will be happening there. But then I have a question. We see the separation, and we see that one will be taken and the other left. So, how would that be explained by wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered? Or how can these preceding verses all about the separation explain these words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered also. I wonder if this verse, verse 37 in Luke 17, has a deeper or more wider, more general meaning, that the body, whether it's alive or dead, here on this earth, when we watch it from an airplane, looks very small. So, only with some special instruments, or maybe someone who has exceptionally good eyesight can see a bicycle and a man on the motorcycle down on a highway. But the eagles have such a strong and clear vision that from afar they can see what is of their interest to see. So, could it be that as the eagles are looking upon the face of this earth from a great height, and they see so well that they know where to land. The Lord is much higher above us, and He can see the whole earth. And this time of separation will be without any mistake on His part. He is not going to make a mistake and take someone on the right-hand side who actually belongs to the left-hand side. And He is not going to make a mistake of taking someone from the left-hand side who belongs to the right-hand side. There will be no confusion with the Lord. He knows exactly what He is doing. So, our concern is not when nor where. When the time comes, it's going to be everywhere. And when the time comes, no one can change that time, no one can postpone it, neither can anyone move that day to happen sooner. It's in the Father's power, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come in His glory exactly as it has been appointed by the Father. Perhaps I could ask some questions. Is it not important whom I am working in the field with, or who is working with me? Oh yes, that's very important. But we know what is manifested, demonstrated, or what is our perception. But the Lord knows the heart and the mind of each person. Is it important for a woman, who is the other woman that is grinding together with her? Oh yes, it's very important. We want to be sure that all the members in our family live a clean life. We want to be assured that all are decent, honest, diligent. But only the Lord knows the secret parts of our being. Only the Lord knows everything about us. And not even I myself know myself as well as the Lord knows me. And perhaps that's why at times He is allowing me to suffer a little bit, something that I may know myself a little bit better. Because if I never suffer, if I never have a test, then Satan might have an opportunity to convince me that I'm very good, though I might not be ready for the coming of the Lord. Well, perhaps we would like to know exactly when that time is going to be so we can prepare very well. No, no, no. If the Lord did not tell us, He didn't want us to know. But if He did tell us, as He did not, but if He did, would we be prepared better or worse? I'm afraid worse. Because then we would think, perhaps, we could be tempted to think as that servant that knew his father, his master's will, and he lived otherwise. He was beating his fellow servants. He was eating and drinking and getting drunk. Because he said in his heart, my master will not come for a long time. So the Lord is giving us a teaching to encourage us to be always ready, to live in a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in such a way as if He is going to be here next moment. In the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus the beggar and the rich man, the Lord told us they both died. But the angels had no problem finding Lazarus, and they had no confusion picking up the rich man. No. They know exactly their work. the Lord Himself has instructed them. So, our main concern is that we are ready for the Lord's coming. How shall we be ready? If we are the servants that are working busily and every moment checking if our work is pleasing the Lord, if we are in harmony with His word, we are surely going to be waiting for Him prepared. If we want to be prepared for a certain time, day, moment, and we are not prepared now, we better get prepared now, because when that moment and that time come, we will be prepared. Another important point in this teaching, I believe, is that our logic, our carnal way of thinking, our worldly way of thinking is very deceiving. And only if we think and consider through the Word of God, in the light of His Word, we can walk on the path of righteousness, salvation, and truth. The way of life everlasting through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word, multiply the gospel message, manifest the power of His Spirit in delivering the souls He has redeemed, and may He unite His children in the heart and mind of His beloved Son, our blessed Redeemer.